Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island. New episode is up. It's on YouTube, but I also put it on the full episode on IGTV on my Instagram account. So go check that out because it's fun. And joining me is the wonderful and amazing Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Did you have a restful weekend?
I did. I had an amazing weekend. I'm taking piano classes in quarantine time. So see how that's working out. I feel like a little kid every day. It's like, do your scales. And I sing along with them like Erica, you know, doing her warm-ups in vocal class. What'd you do?
That's great. Well, after we finished up with our live show on Friday night, which, by the way, thank you to everyone who joined in on that. That was so fun. Go check that out, our Beverly Hills thing. And that's a Crappens on Demand, so that's on patreon.com/watchacrappens. I spent a lot of the weekend playing Animal Crossing. Unlike you, I'm not doing anything to enhance my life beyond the activity that I'm doing. So
Did a cartoon.
Well, that's the other thing. Since I released the cartoon on Friday, I was like, I am doing nothing this weekend because I worked really hard on it last week. So I just spent like all of like Saturday and Sunday playing Animal Crossing. I literally spent the entire time like redecorating my island. I was like, I want to make my house fancy. So I like put in bricks and made fountains and stuff like that. Like I acted as if I were in my own episode of House Hunters. And it was rewarding for me. It was very, very rewarding.
Wow. Well, there you go, everybody. What else is rewarding? You know what? Owning your own small business is rewarding. We are doing small business shout outs here, and we've got a bunch of them. So thanks everybody for sending these in. Go support your favorite small business that you hear here, guys, because there's a bunch of Geraldines who need you. The first one I've got is called Carson Reed's Dance Fit and Fun, and it's Carson spelled K-A-R-S-O-N-R-E-E-D-S. Carson Reed Dance Fit and Fun. She teaches dance fitness in Wilmington, North Carolina, but since obviously we're stuck at home, she's doing all the classes via Zoom, and she's offering recorded classes for people to do later. So if you want to dance, classes are only $5 each, and you can find out more info on her Instagram, which is @CarsonReedDanceFitFun.
Oh, excellent. Everyone go check that out. I've got one from Tamika Jodry, whose mother-in-law has a small business in a small town north of Toronto. We were supposed to go to Toronto, and unfortunately that got postponed. She hasn't been able to have her store open since the pandemic started, and it's called Kimberly Kelland Fashions. It's on Instagram, and she's been working really hard to hustle, baby, to get her orders done. But she's taking orders through Instagram, apparently. And so go if you want some fashions, then go visit Kimberly Kelland over there. Kelland over on Instagram.
Yeah, and so far you've exercised, you've gotten some new fashions, so why not get drunk? Okay, this is a canned cocktail company called Troop, and they're based out of San Francisco, and they can send you cocktails anywhere in California. Okay, so just look that up, Troop.
Yeah, and then we have Sarah Sharp, who owns a small business in Chicago called 444 Evergreen, which is 444evergreen.com, and she basically she sells activewear to men and women, and since no one's going to gyms right now, her sales are sort of hurting at the moment. So, and on top of that, she was supposed to get married this summer and will probably have to postpone, which is why she says this season of Vanderpump is extra triggering on top of the base level trigger that's causing. So, she says, since I know all of your listeners have to be amazing, I'd love to offer a 20% discount code if you give me a little shout out on the pod. Listeners can use the code CRAPPENS20 for 20% off everything in addition to free shipping. So guys, go help out Sarah and get some active wear, because you will want to be active after this all ends. And we've been eating pasta for, you know, 45 months.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, everybody. So those are those. I think that's all we have to show today. Get your videos of all our, you know, a couple of recaps a week over at Crappens on Demand on Patreon. We have the full season of Tiger King up there. We recapped all the episodes on Patreon, and they're available as videos also, except for the first episode. They're all available over on Crappens on Demand. And we both do cameos. So if you need cameos for a friend, give us a call. Okay, Ben. Let's get on with the show, shall we?
Yes. Well, last week, we didn't do a full recap of Top Chef because we wanted to, you know, show some love to Atlanta, because the week before that, we didn't do Atlanta. And that was a huge error on our end, because Atlanta was terrible and Top Chef was hilarious last week. Well, guess what? Top Chef was amazing again this week. So we're doing Top Chef, a full Top Chef today. And we're going to put Atlanta with Shaz on the next episode, because Atlanta, honestly, the finale...
Boo.
Wasn't too good.
It wasn't worth it.
Shaz and Top Chef were good enough. Or Top Chef was so good. It would have been cruel to not cover it, to have another lame episode of Atlanta. At the end of the day, we are Bravo fans, and we have to ultimately, like, the things that get us excited are the things that we have to recap, you know? So that's why we are here today for Ultra Malarkey Hate Fest 2020.
Yeah, party.
That's what it's going to be like on my end.
Yeah, party. And we also do have an extra episode this week, because we will be both Housewives of New York and Beverly Hills are on. So don't worry, there's plenty of content coming. But for now,
a million shows.
Basically, we talked about this a little bit on the last Atlanta recap. We did talk about Top Chef a little bit. So we went over all this malarkey, throwing Leanne under the bus.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, very
all
malarkey.
Malarkey. Yes.
Malarkey. Yeah. So we start with that. We come backstage and everybody's pissed off in the stew room. And Voltaggio is like, well, clearly we should have communicated more, but at the end of the day, you're going to be judged by the dish you put out, most likely by my brother, which is the person that judges all my dishes in one day.
And Malarkey's like, well, you know what? Leanne forgives me. We are prepared to move on from this. Salt crisis avoided. I was like, you know, you really seem to have a lot of... This clearly weighs heavily on you, Brian Malarkey, that you fucked up her dish, which admittedly, she has to take full responsibility for, but you did fuck it up. And on top of that, not only did you fuck it up, but then you pointed out other parts of her dish that you didn't touch that were bad. So you don't... That clearly does not weigh on you.
Yes, and Malarkey, you know, when people come back to this show, they're obviously traumatized by the last time they were on, and the internet vitriol spewed at them. And Jen is an example this year where she comes back and she's like, well, you know, people didn't like me so much last time, but fuck that. You know what? Now I'm more fucking patient, so God fucking damn it, all right? Yeah. But Malarkey was traumatized too, but he's one of those people that instead of really changing, he just says things he says things like he's changed, but he hasn't. Like, he'll keep saying, now I know that sounds like I'm being a dick, but I'm not being a dick. I'm just telling the truth. And he just says that over and over. It's like, now it's worse because you're catching yourself being a dick, and you're still being a dick, okay? Just noticing that you're being a dick doesn't mean you're not being a dick.
He's definitely pulling a Ben Mandelker move by doing that, because that's, like, one of my favorite things. Like, I know I sound like I'm being a dick, but I really am not. But anyway, he's an asshole who should be thrown into the water. No, but he is doing that. And on top of that, like, I was really worried when we did the preview for this season. We spent, like... I don't know, 25 minutes just talking about why we hated Malarkey and why we hated his bio. And I was afraid that this season would begin and he would be like, fine. And then we would just be two assholes. But I feel like he has not only met our expectations, but exceeded them in ways that I couldn't even imagine. Like, he's actually worse than he was the first time around.
I don't have the memory to go back that far and remember just how terrible he was. I do remember that I hated his guts and wanted him to, you know, drown in a vat of candle wax, but that's about it.
Well, he was annoying last time, and I remember I did not like him. He's like, ugh, shut up, Malarkey. But this time he's actually annoying and then has the ego of someone who feels like he's actually above this entire competition, right? Like, because he's been a judge on The Taste with Anthony Bourdain, and he... had like a very successful like a group of restaurants for several years in like San Diego and even up here in LA. And so I think that he thinks that he is almost like he's the big fish in the small pond, I think. And it's like, you are not. You're actually like a small fish in a gutter that's near a pond.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. I didn't reach for the mute button before it just sneezed in your face during a pandemic. How rude.
It was malarkey. Malarkey did it. And by the way, I should say that the gutter that's next to the pond, all the other chefs are in the pond. He's the one that's in the gutter. I don't want to imply that everyone on Top Chef is in the gutter next to the pond.
Yeah. So we start with Brian and Leanne hugging it out. And Leanne is talking to Jen at the house, and she's still stressed out about it, of course. And she's like, well, I guess it was my fault for not communicating exactly what I wanted. And Jen's like, you know what? Sometimes you just got to fucking grow up here, Leanne, all right? Like, what are you just going to cry all over the goddamn floor? Someone's got to clean that up, all right? So just, you know, grow up here. You know who I believe in? Me. That's who. Jen. I've got two N's at the end of my name. You want to fuck with that? I don't think so.
Leanne is definitely in, like, stage 3 pillow clinging alert, right? Like every scene I feel like is her on a couch with one foot tucked under her leg and like just holding onto a pillow for dear life.
Yeah, bless her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart. So then Jen starts saying how she's like, yeah, you know, Top Chef is a lot harder this time around. I mean, this time I'm trying to plan a wedding, trying to help my sister, I'm trying to build a log cabin somewhere. I got a hangnail. It's just, it's hard.
Have you ever tried macrame? God damn, can we just buy a plant hook? Like, why do I got to make a macrame? You know, I do everything around here. And, you know, I got a hot motherfucking fiance. So there's that. And they show her fiance. And I was like, oh my God. Whatever personality changes she did to attract that man. Yeah, girl.
It worked.
Share some tips. It works.
So as soon as they showed that, by the way, I was like, okay, this means that Jen is either flying or she's winning. And we're going to see. We're going to find out very quickly, right?
Yeah. That was basically like her phone call to home scene where you know that she's going to leave. But everybody has a phone call home because guess what? In the kitchen, everyone else gets really cheap phones.
Yeah. So basically everyone goes in for the quick fire and everyone's like, where's Padma? Why isn't anyone silently judging me at the moment? And they all, like, there are all these phones everywhere, so they all start picking up the phones. And then, like, Eric's wife calls him, and he's like, oh, hi. And then Nini gets a call from her mom, and she's like, who is this? And her mom's like, you don't recognize your mom's voice? She goes, no.
And I love how everybody's confused by the phones, because they're not iPhones. They're like, Metro PC. Can anybody tell me how to answer this thing? What the hell?
Yeah, everyone's very, very confused. I'm confused, too. Like, I cannot believe Top Chef, like, let Metro PCS into their branding.
I know. Was Cricket busy? I mean, geez.
I know. I guess money is money, but, like, I mean, Top Chef is definitely the iPhone of cooking shows, and Metro PCS is definitely, like, worst cooks in America, right? So this is, like, very odd.
Hey, I use tofu as mayonnaise.
This episode was actually... The whole show has been a little bit on the Food Network side this season, a little bit. Like, even the challenge later where they have to, like, come up with a product and sell it, that's straight-up Food Network star. Like, that is a full-on Food Network star challenge. I was a little surprised by it. I mean, I don't mind, but just thinking academically, because why not?
Well, I think people missed a big chance there. I mean, they didn't specify food products, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, invent a vibrator. Or, like, invent...
Putting the chicken.
Yeah. Or, like, a phone, you know, with an eye in the front. Something. Come on.
So everyone's, like, everyone's getting their loved one calls, and Brian is like, no one loves me. I'm not getting any calls. And you just know that, like, somewhere, like, Michael Voltaggio is just holding onto that phone, just, like, not calling, just to screw his brother up.
Yeah, of course my brother would try to get me to call him on a fucking Android, you know? So then Karen doesn't talk to her husband either. She's like, oh, hi, it's my sister. I guess my husband's still mad. I said that now that she's gone, I can breathe again.
So. I guess my husband's still trying to figure out that Kelly Clarkson reference, that very obvious Kelly Clarkson reference I made that he did not get. Okay. So they're all talking, and then Padma just, like, whisks into the kitchen and she's like, "Hey, chefs, tell your loved ones that you'll have to call them back. A famous person speaking now."
All right, everybody, put down your poor people phones.
I'm sure speaking to a loved one sounds pretty good right now. Almost as good as a bowl of old spaghetti does to Gail. Am I right?
Must be nice speaking to loved ones instead of a twin who didn't have time for you.
That goes out to both Brian Voltaggio and Nilou.
Today, we want you to dial in on your communication skills using a super reliable network. We're going to play a little game. Line, what is it? It's telephone, Padma. Telephone.
We're going to play a game that poor people play. It's called telephone. They don't have access to email.
Patty Cake wouldn't give us any licensing deals, so we're stuck with telephone, right?
And we're going to use your phone from our friends at Metro. And no, I will not say the rest of their name because it's beneath me.
Your family has been trapped inside of a restaurant and they're being guarded by the cartel. Good luck, everybody.
Your loved ones are in a well-known restaurant, and don't worry, we've alerted all the famous people to avoid at all costs.
So everybody, all their family is across town at Mozza.
Yes.
Which is my hood. We like that little restaurant.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive. It's very expensive, yes. Bread. Okay? You can order an olive oil loaf of bread. It's like a little loaf of bread that comes out in olive oil, like baked in it. It's so delicious. And it's like $1 million. So that's how I
know. That is actually true. So Mozza, there's like a complex of like the three restaurants. There's Pizzeria Mozza, Osteria Mozza, and then a place called Cheesepaca, like all next to each other, they're all clumped together. And at Cheesepaca, Nancy Silverton herself, who is a guest judge, has a focaccia that costs $18. That's no joke. And I know this because I've gotten it, because it's one of those things where like, it's $18, that's crazy. And then you wind up getting it because you're like, what does $18 focaccia taste like? I mean, it's delicious.
It is delicious.
Truly delicious.
Yeah,
it is. It's delicious. But there's a whole story about how she went to Liguria and then she saw this method and they get the dough, the flour from here and all this bullshit, you know, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit. Anyway. But they do put very good olive oil on it. And you know, it's like $12 worth of olive oil because it really is like a pool of olive oil that you're dipping in. Anyway, we love that place. Also, another thing, every time I see Nancy Silverton, A, like, why are you wearing barrette suddenly? Like, stop it. And also prosciutto with melon. So we went there with friends and someone ordered prosciutto with melon and like, that's a very standard Italian dish, right? So,
yeah.
Like, generally, thin slices of prosciutto is prosciutto is. Prosciutto, you know what I'm saying.
Prosciutto
is. And then the melon is usually, like, little melon balls or something. Well, she serves gigantic slices, like, full-on humongous slices of cantaloupe, and then wraps them in prosciutto. It's not good. Nancy is my point. And every time I see her, I think of terrible barrettes and clunky melon and prosciutto.
Clunky melon and prosciutto. You know, I don't love cantaloupe, so I just in general find melon and prosciutto a little off-putting. And I know it's a classic thing, but so I already am like anti it.
Well, there you
just
go.
Just putting that out there.
So, yeah so you don't even need to judge her on that, because you just don't like it to begin with.
But then I think of, she has this, at Pizzeria Mozza, she has this butterscotch budino, which is, like, probably one of the most famous desserts in Los Angeles, because it is so good. And that, like, you forgive any sins that she has ever had when you have that butterscotch budino. And in fact, since we're all at home, that recipe is actually available online. You just do a Google search for it. You can make it at home, and I've made it at home. And it turns out pretty damn well. It's actually not that hard. It's just, you just have to have a lot of like milk and cream and like butter and sugar on hand.
Oh my God.
And
then,
I made it like probably about 10 years. I think it's on my blog. If you do like a search on B-side blog for like Adventures in Domesticity, which was like my ongoing column where I would cook from home. And so anyway, the point is this, butterscotch budino, guys, it's great.
Yeah, there you go. So the challenge is all their family is eating a dish, and they have to talk on their androids to the people and get a good description of it and then make the dish based on the description.
Yeah, which is, it's hilarious. I love this challenge already. Like, first of all, also the food looks amazing. It made me so sad that we can't, like, go out to restaurants right now. But Excuse me, I just had like a burp. Apologies, everyone. All this talking about food. So there's basically like a pork dish, a fish dish, and a steak dish. And so they're all calling. So Brian Mullarkey calls up his wife, is speaking on the phone with his wife. Her name is Chantel. She looks terrified of him. She looks like she has basically medicated herself to the point where she can like deal with Mullarkey and his frenetic energy.
Yeah,
right?
She's definitely one of those LA wives that's like, wow, I married a TV star. Lucky me! And looks just like horrified. Like she's just realized she could have done so much better. And I think that he wakes her up in the middle of the night like, honey, time for some Botox. And she's like, no, because the way that he sells, like the couple that like Botoxes together, I guess, you know, dies together. I don't know. I can't think of a rhyme, but they're both addicted to Botox and they're both terrifying looking and they both need to stop it. Okay. Both of them.
Yeah. But she looks like the victim of it. Like he looks like the perpetrator of it. And because he's on the phone and he's asking, just the way he asks his questions is annoying. He's like, what kind of bone is it? Big bone, little bone? Peppercorn crust? What sort of crust? Huh? What sort of, is there a fork? Was there a green on it? Like, is it width? What's going on there? You're like, oh my God. Like, he's just like assaulting.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know. This fork just keeps hitting me in the face. Like, yes, honey. I told the fork to do that. All right. Just trust me. We're testing it out on you first.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arin. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
The Bay Area betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible edible Matthew sisters. And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys.
So then we go to Volt's sister, because, of course, the twins like, fuck you, I already won that show, loser, have fun. So his sister comes, and she's a pastry chef, and he's like, oh, everyone knows two Voltagios, but there's also a third, our sister, the pastry chef.
She's basically like that third Hemsworth or like Eli and Peyton Manning's brother. Like there's always like that one third sibling that never gets their moment to shine. So here's Stacey's big moment.
She's just always killed on Westworld.
I don't totally get the reference, but I feel like it's a good one.
I feel like one of our listeners did and liked it. Yeah. You're welcome, that one listener.
Stacy. So, by the way, the fish dish is a yellowtail collar. So, Stacy is like, all right, okay, here's my big moment. All right. So, the fish is Branzino, Brian, good luck.
We're on Bravo. I finally got to say Branzino. So then we go over to Jen, and her sister's there, and it is hilarious. She's like, all right, well, there's wings on this protein. All right, so where's she going with this? And the sister's like, yeah, there's wings. She's like, wing, goddamn wings, really? And she goes, it's a white meat. I think chicken. Chicken? Well, maybe it's fish.
She's like, well, it's chicken. Looks like it's an interesting chicken in that it actually has fins. Have you ever seen a chicken with fins before and scales?
It's a fish, stupid. All right.
So it's a chicken fish. Okay. Oh, chicken of the sea. So this must be a can of tuna fish you got here, Jen.
And she's like, all right, so it's got a collar on it. So it's a yellowtail then if it's got a collar. She's like, I don't know what it is. They're like horseshoes. That's what they look like. All right, it's a collar. All right, God. And then her sister. Collar.
Oh, it's a dress shirt. Okay, it's a roasted dress shirt.
And then she, right, the sister okay. just picks up the food with her hands and starts like turning it yes. over in her hands. And there's just shit all over her hands.
Yeah, I don't know why she's doing that. I guess maybe she's trying to understand the texture. But she's in this beautiful restaurant. She's rooting through it with her fingers like everywhere. And then she's like, okay, all right. I got one fork, one wine glass. She's like, okay, don't need to know
that. All right. Don't give a shit about that.
My napkin just fell on the floor. Is that essential?
Focus on the chicken fish. All right.
There is a draft in the room. I think it's about 69 degrees in here right now, Jen. So that might be important.
And Leanne's mom is so cute. She is so cute. God. She's like this little tiny lady. And she used to watch Julia Child every day when Leanne was coming home from school. The mom was watching Julia Child. So she's like, we've got this. We've got this.
Yeah. No, she is so, so sweet. And Nini's mom also. I love Nini's mom because she's like very. First of all, she looks so young. And she's also like, you can tell she sort of is like. Holds, like she carries herself like she's Lucille Bluth, right? Like a little bit.
Yeah,
like
I was going to say Lucille she's Bluth. My mom. Like this is basically Nini with mom. Because when they mentioned that her mom was coming, Nini's like, oh shit, my mom is going to totally boss me around. Because Nini's just so meek and sweet, you know, with her little glasses and like her wacky clothes from the 50s. And then her mom's like, all right, where's my wine?
Yeah, pretty much. And giving her, like, the wrong information. She's, like, basically saying it's not arugula, et cetera, et cetera. So, so then, meanwhile, Brian is still pestering his wife. He's like, okay, in the beans, is there any kind of material in the beans? I'm like, Chantal's like, I'm not quite sure. Material, like tinfoil, is that what you're asking? He's like, oh, come on. So then he picks up someone else's sauce in the kitchen, and he just starts spooning through. He puts a spoon in there and just starts looking through it going, what's in this? I'm like, that is so shady. Like, it's one thing, like, when Nini looks over at Greg's area, oh, yeah. She sort of sees, it's like, okay. And there's sort of, like, everything's above board, but, like, it's an unattended pot, and he's just, like, looking through it. It just felt so
smarmy. Yeah, so Brian. And then Kevin's like, my wife is an incredible communicator. She is an attorney. We communicate really well. It's what makes our marriage so successful. Objection.
She's like, I'm tasting a tort. Like, oh, so you're eating a tort? No, I'm just a complaint. I'm tasting a complaint right now.
I'd like to sustain this for a minute, Kevin. Could you just sustain it for 1 minute?
I'd like to approach the bench, please. Can I do that? I'd like to break for recess. So then Leanne's mom is very cute. And the best part is that, like, at one point, so her mom is, like, really good with all the ingredients, except she says it's soy sauce instead of a balsamic reduction, and then, or marinade. So then, like, she just starts eating. And so she does the total mom thing. She puts her phone down on the table, like, face up, and then just starts eating. And Leanne's like, hey, mom? You there, Mom? You there, Mom? Mom? Mom?
And then finally she picks it back up. And she's like, can you hear me? And she's like, yeah.
She's like, are you still there, Leanne? Leanne's like, yes.
Okay, so then... maybe it's Karen's sister whose hands were all in her food. Was it Karen?
No, it was Jen's. It was Jen's right? Sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then Voltaggio's like, well, I look around the kitchen and the other chefs are making a hamachi, and I've got branzino, so great. And my sister said it was a croissant fish. Where am I supposed to go with that?
You know, meanwhile, like, Stacy just texted Michael, be like, ha, got him. He's like, thanks, sis.
Thanks, sis. Remind me to take you to the exact place where I skydove from. I'll finally tell you where that was.
Meanwhile, yeah, Michael Voltaggio is literally in the air in a parachute making the exact same dish perfectly. He's like, I don't know. It was pretty easy for me to figure it out. It was hamachi, right? I got it up here in the sky. Anyway, I just landed.
Yeah. So they all start getting pictures of their food. That they were supposed to be making. They're like, oh, and a lot of them did a really good job.
Yeah, exactly. So Padma comes in and she's like, please welcome back award-winning fancy focaccia chef, Nancy Silverton. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, and I so just put, wow, in. Nancy is just wackier than ever. Nancy's one of those ladies who's like, I'm rich and successful. Should I wear bikinis everywhere or baby doll dresses with collars and barrettes? I'm going to go with B and give me some crazy glasses while we're at it.
She terrifies me. She just seems very, very scary. Like, I feel like she would yell at me for no reason.
Well, she always seemed, like, super auntie-like and really sweet back in the day when she started coming on this show, especially during Masters, because she was working with her bestie at that. I forgot who her bestie was, but the one she opened Border Grill with. Isn't that her?
No. That's God, the Border Girl women. I'm suddenly.
Oh, then that's why.
Names.
Okay, then I got
Susan,
her. Yes. You're right.
Whose nephew, the Border Girl woman, the one who
Susan
you're thinking of,
Susan Feniger.
Her nephew, by the way, is Ben. I forgot his last name, but he's on Superstore, and he was on Mad Men. How about that?
Oh, I'm gonna look him up. Huh. Nephew
Susan Feniger, and then I forget the other lady's name. The tall one.
Her nephew is actor Ben Feldman. Oh, well, let's... Ben Feldman.
I love Suzanne Feniger. And I gotta look up...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Suzanne Feniger and the other one. I feel so bad.
The Watch What Crappens Google show. Yeah, he's super cute, this Ben Feldman. Rar.
Mary Sue Milliken.
He's adorable. Yeah, Mary Sue. So, okay, yeah. So no wonder she got bitchier, because it's not Susan Feniger.
Because it's not
the
same
person.
God,
what happened to her?
Well, also, Nancy Silverton lost a huge amount of money due to Bernie Madoff, I believe. So that probably embittered her, too. She's like, well, he may take my money, but he's not taking my barrettes. Am I right, everyone? $18 focaccia.
Guess what? Thanks to Bernie Madoff, this is the Madoff focaccia. It's now $97.
Yeah. She also actually came out, she mentioned on the show that she came out with a gelato. She came out with that gelato a few years ago. I know this because, again, going back to the blog, her PR rep sent me a batch of it to review, and it was really good, but it was really expensive. And I just remember that my review was like, well, this is very good, but for this price point, it's ridiculous. So I can't imagine anyone buying. I did something really bitchy about it. I'd probably look back at it and be mortified.
Fancy Nancy. Let's see. So she's like, welcome back, Barrette. Okay, so judging. They go to Volt first. And Padma's like, so Volt, she didn't notice the collar? Nancy sure did. She put it on. Wow, Nancy, a collar on a dress. Looks great.
And Nancy just looks at it and goes, well, this is not the dish. It's like, no shit, Sherlock. It's like, it literally looks like something else, but it is delicious.
Yeah.
Of course, Melissa does well, because Melissa does everything amazingly. Yeah. She's probably the one to beat at this point.
And it looks just like it.
Yeah.
And then Karen's like, well, my sister said it was tomato sauce. And,
Nancy's like, so what did your sister tell you about the salsa verde? And Karen's like, well, I asked her quite a few times if she was sure it wasn't cilantro, and she was sure it was not. I'll just bottle that rage up again. It's almost like going back to last week when no one gave me counter space, and I have a James Beard Award, and no one gave me counter space.
Let me go over to Jen, and she's like, my fucking sister said it was a goddamn chicken, so that's what I was working with.
So here, Thanksgiving dinner, according to her.
And Nancy's like, well, there was a salsa verde, but she did a great job, especially considering it's, you know, starting with chicken. Eat my gelato, all right? That's what I've got to say about this.
And then Nini's also looks excellent. Nancy can't believe that, like, everyone missed the balsamic marination. She's like, well, everyone missed the balsamic. This is crazy. I'm like, because this was a marinade. I mean, like, it's hard to track that, you know. Anyway,
I thought it was a sauce or something.
Was it? Oh, maybe it was something else that was a marinade where she was just like, I can't. Oh, no, it was something else later on where she said that. You're right. It was the sauce.
Yeah, it must have been a sauce. But I think when people have a balsamic reduction, sometimes they don't understand what it is because they're used to, like, just regular balsamic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know.
So then Malarkey's trying to be all charming, and he's like, well, This was a very fun marriage counseling session, so I'd like to thank you for that very much. I ordered 10 more shots of Botox for my wife to shut her up. Am I right?
Yeah, thanks for the counseling. My wife's lips now look like two gigantic butt cheeks slapping up against each other. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, and then Nancy's like, well, you know, I mean, the thing is, you know, the beans in this dish, what people don't realize is that the beans bring a lot of flavor because they're actually cooked in the pork. So the beans are really important. And Brian goes, yeah, she couldn't get me to that. I'm like, you know, ew,
yeah,
don't
gross.
Blame her. Your wife is not a chef. She's not like trained to know that the beans are cooked in the pork. So don't say she couldn't get me to that. Like this implication, like that this was a failure on her part.
Yeah, he's gross. And then, let's see, Padma's basically like, well, today was really about who could give us the closest rendition. And then we just see Kevin standing in the line laughing and nodding like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, Padma, that's what I was telling everyone too, Padma.
And then, by the way,
I don't know why he's making me so mad this season. I just really want to smack him. He bugs the shit out. It's like every time you look at him, he's like mugging. Like, I was just going to say that. It's like, just stand there, Kevin, like everybody else, dude.
Be still, Kevin. And by the way, Stephanie, her boyfriend or her husband, I forget what he is, but he's also like a chef. And so he did really well in describing. But the thing is that Stephanie also did the pork chop. And this is where Nancy says, you know, the only thing that he didn't pick up on is that the radicchio is marinated in olive oil, balsamic, and rosemary. He did not pick up on those three things. I was like, how is he supposed to pick up on the radicchio being marinated in olive oil, balsamic, and rosemary? Nancy.
The radicchio.
I mean, come on now.
It's like, well, he missed the radicchio, but, you know, everyone did get the fennel fronds. So that's nice.
It's amazing that no one picked up on the fact that we seared the pork for about 5 minutes on one side and 2 minutes on another, and then just lightly glazed it with a gentle mix of sugar and fennel and cinnamon, but only about a quarter of a teaspoon of cinnamon. No one really got into that.
God, seeing all her food laid out like that really did just make me want to make something so rich, because her food is so rich. It's like, here's some butter. And everything's like done in bacon grease. And like, I mean, it's just so rich and delicious.
Yeah. Looks amazing. Mm. So Brian is on the bottom, obviously, because he made a totally different fish. And then, because basically Brian made a branzino. So Padma goes, so obviously that was our least favorite dish. So just think about that for a second. I'll call up, hey, look, I'm going to call up Michael Voltaggio on my iPhone because I don't use a Metro PCS for famous person. Hey, Michael, look what your brother did. He's the only one who messed up. Look.
And Nancy's like, oh, gosh, Voltaggio, your croissant fish. I mean, just get out of here. Oh, yeah. Okay, so where am I? So Melissa's, yours was really close, and Leanne's coached her very well, even though she went Asian, but she still got the nuances. You got that umami.
That was the first draft of Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas. You got that umami. You got that umami. Whatever that song was. I'll stop.
Dun,
so,
dun, dun.
You're so 2000 and late. So, Gail's wardrobe experience.
Well, so, this was Fergie-licious. Thank you.
G-L-A-M on board. So that's how she sings all her Fergie songs.
So then Nancy was like, Kevin, that pork was outstanding. Plus, it looked perfect. And I love that you've just been nodding so excitedly the whole time for no reason. So you get the win and $10,000. Thank you for not grabbing your heart.
Kevin, you remind me of my favorite dashboard toy, so since you're nodding so much, I'm going to give it to you.
Hey, Kevin, aren't you going to do blessed hands? No? All right, well, that was a waste of a win.
Hey, Kevin, do you want to do a faux ironic wiping the sweat off your brow moment? No? Okay, fine.
He does do that. He does blessed hands, ironic sweat wiping, and the grab your heart. He and Eric both do the, like, oh, that touched my heart. Ow, yes,
yeah.
My heart.
Eric does the grab the heart. They go, he does do that a lot.
That makes me crazy. I hate when people do that. And blessed hands. Ugh. Even Gail does blessed hands later. I'm like, shut up, Gail, with your blessed hands. You're not Yolanda Foster.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, fat man not doing blessed hands. Will you please call your wife back and tell her that you won? We just want to see if you'll make a fool of yourself again. Thanks.
So in today's day and age, chefs, the most successful chefs are also entrepreneurs. For example, me. I sell white rice in the frozen food section. Look at that. I'm rich.
And look at Gail. She sells edible shoes at Florishime.
So Nancy's like, well, I assume you know that I'm the creator of Le Brea Bakery. That's right. I'm like, yeah, I've had lots of your dry bread, okay? I mean, can I suggest maybe putting a carrot in the bag or something to keep that shit moist? Because by the time I get it, it's always fucking dry, Nancy.
So the chefs have to create a signature specialty product and then build a dish to highlight it. And then what's going to happen is they're going to bring it to the Century City Mall, and then there'll be all these diners. They're all going to have like a ticket. And at the end, they will it's basically a vote. They basically vote for their favorite, you know, and whoever has the most votes is going to win.
Yeah. Your loved ones will be here to assist you. And Nini's like, oh, Jesus, my mom's going to be so mean to me.
She's like, my mom's gonna be so bossy and so drunk.
Okay.
So then it's Whole Foods. They go to Whole Foods. They're running around like madmen. And Jen starts saying, you know, I've like worked with a lot of brands before, you know, like Rubbermaid and Alpo and Staples, you know, and like, you just can't make something in 24 hours. I was like, this combined with their story about building a cabin or whatever that was. Bad news for Jen. This is not going well.
Yeah. Oh, and Kevin's like, I'm going to make chicken and waffles. And I just wrote, yawn with your chicken and waffles.
Talk about Food Network.
Yeah.
Talk about Food Network. I mean, like, listen, chicken and waffles is divine. But, like, that is what everyone on the Food Network makes on Food Network Star. Like, today I'm making a chicken and waffles taco.
Yeah.
It's, like, great.
And Nini is going to make Nick Mom.
Which is so good.
And which is a Vietnamese dipping sauce and some ribs. Mm-hmm. And then Jen drops a whole thing of olive oil in the Whole Foods, and it breaks all over the floor. And I was like, "Oh, you're
talking
about
an omen." Yeah. And then Nini. Then we had this like scene, a scene that they like teased in the coming up on Poor People Cooking. Nini goes up to the butcher and says, like, she orders a bunch of ribs and says, like, "Don't give them to anyone else." Okay, see this face? Don't give them to anyone else. So I was just like waiting for Brian Mularkey to go steal her ribs.
I was waiting for either one of the Brians to steal those ribs, actually. Because Brian Voltaggio acts nice, but he's really a prick.
Really? I don't think that Brian Voltaggio would steal the ribs. I think that maybe, like, I think if it's not going to be Mularkey who would steal the ribs, it would be, like, I mean, I think it would just have to be Mularkey. I can't imagine anyone else. I can't even think of anyone else who would, maybe Jen, actually. Of all people.
Yeah. So I did, for all I wrote was Nini is dressed in a Gale jumper. It's like, okay, Nini, I love you, but there's a time to just say no. Okay.
Yeah.
So kitchen, the family arrives in the kitchen to help them, and everybody all, starts like, cooking stuff.
Yeah. It's like cooking. There's hugs, just cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking. And Leanne basically, she is making a mapo sauce, which is like a Szechuan thing. And she's making a ton of it, 20 quarts, and she has to make 150 dumplings. So it's like a whole bunch of stuff that she has to do. So her mom is there cooking away, and so cute, so cute. And then, Mularkey, he's just bossing around Chantel. He's like, cut this really small, put it all together. And the magic happens. Just do that. I'm like, oh, you're so awful even when you're just saying simple commands.
I know. Did you catch the look she gave the camera? She's like, oh, help. She's like blinking six times for help.
Yeah.
Even though it has four letters. And then he's like, well, my product is going to be named after our twins, Sailor and Miles. And it's going to be called Smiles. Get it? It's like, you named your son Sailor and Smiles. Are you fucking kidding me with this?
Seriously. And then he goes, this is all malarketing. Get it? Malarketing? Malarkey? Malarketing? I was like, I get it. And I want to forget it. You know, that's what I'm saying. Get it and forget it. Sailor and Miles, why is it, wouldn't you think at that point your kids would be named Sailor and
Oh, is it Miles? Like Fathoms? Oh, you're right. Sailor and Miles. I wrote Sailor and Smiles. Okay, Sailor and Miles.
No, Smiles is them together, but shouldn't it be like Sailor and Fathoms? Or like Sailor and Knots?
Sailor and Rocks.
Oh my
guarantee they I just hate feel like each it's other. His, they're like the new
it's his Mabel. Attempt to be famous. Like, he's like, I'm to prove that I'm famous, I'm gonna name one of my kids a very non-traditional name.
Yeah, just in case I ever meet Gwyneth, I can be like, hey, yeah, maybe Apple should hang out with Sailor, you know, maybe they'd get along.
Oh gosh. So yeah, so anyway, everyone's cooking and it starts to get really hot in there, and Leanne's mom starts to get hot, and then she starts to faint, and it's like really scary.
Yeah, and everyone's so nice on this season. Everyone helps her. She has to leave because obviously she's, you know, gonna have a heart attack or something. So everybody else helps Leanne finish, which is great, but I worry for Leanne because that happened to her last time and look what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily the mom is okay, and luckily Leanne was there to actually like save her from falling to the floor, you know, which was very scary. So everyone's helping her, although I'm not sure if I saw Malarkey helping, which is pretty on brand for him.
Yeah.
And then they keep showing like Jen with her sister, because Jen's making this like sunny lemon ginger thing, and she keeps saying that's this, it's sunny, it's sunny, it's sunny. I'm like, I don't turn to Jen for sunny. You know, this is already a problem. But Jen should be more like bourbon with dirt in it. Yes, you know, totally. Like, drink it up, you fucking pussy.
Yeah, I've given everyone a shot. All right. That's my product. It's a fucking shot. Take it and shut up. It's called the take it and shut the fuck up shot. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't really want to eat the sun. You know, I think of sun and I think, ow. Or I think like fire. Or I think like skin cancer. You know, like I don't want to eat the sun.
Or also, to be honest, I mean, I also don't, lemon ginger, I think it's sort of a cool idea for a condiment, to be honest, but I'm not sure that I always need lemon and ginger together in my dishes. Sometimes I only need lemon, sometimes I only need ginger. So it's also a little limiting, I think, even though Jen, she's like, I put this on everything, lemon and ginger. Let me tell you what I put it on. I put it on salami, I put it on whiskey, I just find a rock and I put it on and look at it. It's just great.
Well, it's basically salad dressing. Lemon and ginger.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you think about what she's saying, it's really just what you make salad dressing with, or what I make salad dressing with. So, ow, God, ow. You know what? Playing piano hurts your arms when you're a very weak person. Who knew? Like, I just
who knew?
Rearranged on my chair, and I was like, ow, my arm almost broke off. Why? I don't know. Okay, so Jen is making sunny. Okay, so then Malarkey's like, faster, faster, go faster, man!
Help me out, love. Help me out, love. And they're like filling these tiny little jars of his stupid smiles relish. Ugh.
And his wife's like, I would totally buy this, honey. Say it again. I would totally buy this, honey. Say it again. Please don't put the fork on my lip.
Also, by the way, if you think about it, wait, what was in it again? It was like fennel and I gotta go back.
Wasn't
to see
it just,
what it was. Oh, fennel? Fennel olive mustard relish called Smiles. So I also think there's a disconnect. I feel like if I bought something called Smiles, I'm just not expecting a fennel olive mustard relish. I don't know what I'm expecting, but I'm expecting something sort of like sweet and like almost like cutesy. And I just think that like if I got fennel olive mustard relish, I'm just not thinking I'd be calling it Smiles.
Especially when it's made by Malarkey and you know it's going to be his big stupid denture smile. You know?
Yeah, his monkey chime smile.
Yeah. So then at the end of the challenge, everyone's celebrating with a drink. And Nini's like, Mom, I'm pouring you some wine. And she's like, I like white.
Yeah, because Nini gave her red wine. She's like, once again, disappointing everyone. Does she disappoint you guys the way she disappoints me? Anyone? No? Padma's like, what are we talking about? Are we shaming someone? Come over here, Mom.
And the camera people loved her mom because she is just what we're saying she is. And they just keep showing the mom sitting on an ice box, like an ice chest, smiling at the camera like, can you believe this idiot?
So it's the next morning, and now truly the most vile scene of the episode is Malarkey is standing outside of this mansion, which, by the way, on the first episode, I incorrectly said I thought it was the American Idol mansion. It's not. But Malarkey is standing outside, and he has a notebook, and he's ranking the strongest to the weakest competitors there. And he's like, you know, I've always been kind of a ranking guy. I mean, like, you know, like, after having spent time with these chefs, it's hard not to calibrate them, right? Like, who do you think is best? Who do you think is going home next? It's, like, hard not to do that. I'm like, it's actually really easy not to do that. Like, there's... Yeah, you can be like, ooh, so-and-so is not doing so great. They're probably going to be out soon. But to actually sit there and, like, rank, to write down names, and then put your name on the top, When you were in the bottom last week, by the way, come on.
It's him, easy. You know, it's like his Dear Diary moment, his Moleskine to like diss everybody else. So funny. So then he's like, well, I mean, there's Kevin. He's won an elimination challenge and he survived cancer. So he's got something to prove. You know, it's fucking cancer people always trying to prove shit. And then there's Voltaggio. I mean, look at him. Isn't he nice? He has a twin who's successful and better than him. So he's playing the game.
Yeah.
Then we've got Melissa. Oh, she's quiet, but God, she's good. She's won two eliminations. She's on fire. So if my calculations are correct, my wife's lips should be about as big as two Volkswagen bumpers. And the next people to go are Leanne, Stephanie, and Eric.
If I'm right, I'm like, you're not right. You're an asshole. I mean, it's just so obnoxious because you kind of feel like he is coming in here truly playing a game. Like he's sneaky and it is a competition, but I don't think anyone's treating it like, oh, it's a game where I've got to like snake my way to the top. Everyone's just like, I'm just trying to cook the best food I can.
Yeah. It's a game, but it's a game of skill, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, like he showed last week, it is also a game where you can get people on little technicalities like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully believe that he undersalted Leanne's food because he has a list. Yeah.
And then he does his thing where he's like, hey, don't think I'm an asshole because I'm not an asshole. Okay. We all go home except for one.
I'm like, yeah, but you are like, you're scheming in like a non-scheming show. Yeah. So, yes, you are an asshole.
So, let's go to the challenge. We're at the Westfield Mall in Century City.
Yeah, Leanne's mom is back, and they put her in the shade, so she's good and she's ready. She spends the rest of the episode like behind a cooler just rolling out dumplings, which is so adorable. And then Malarkey's with Chantel, and he's like, okay, so say the relish has a lot of personality like our kids. Come on, say that. I'm like, ugh. It grosses me out because, A, we're not even sure that your kids have personality. So don't even say that. Second of all, it just shows how fake he is, that everything is not – everything is like a slick – I want to say sale, right? Like he's trying to – he's got like a slick selling point for everything, just like he did with Ruth Reichel, who looked right through him when he was like, oh, this is good. You're gonna feel the magic, he's like a used car salesman,
yeah,
right? And it's just this insincere, gross malarkey.
Yeah. Greg is the cutest guy on here. He's so sweet, and he's cooking with his mom, and he's like, we've cooked a couple of times together. We did a James Beard dinner. This particularly was the James Beard award for best rustic asparagus in the Southeast on top of bread, so that was fun.
By the way, I should also point out that Brian had Gregory sort of towards the bottom of his little list, which is ridiculous because Gregory is amazing and like came a hair away from winning his season. So the fact that he's towards the bottom and he's been killing it all season is ridiculous.
I don't think that Brian respects people who aren't like overconfident and douchey, you know? I was actually surprised that Eric was on his list as not doing that well as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that he also... I think that Brian is kind of like a good old boy. I think that he just sort of, I think he kind of just like is down with like the white guys, straight white guys a little bit. I mean, I hate to be like that and be like, you know, social media warrior. I'll be a social media warrior, social but whatever media it is.
Warrior.
But I kind of get that vibe a little bit. I think he's very condescending to the women at the very least. And I think that it's sort of like interesting that he has like two very strong black men. I hate to like be doing this. I'm trying not to really enter race into this, but I did find it curious that these guys are so good, Eric and Gregory, and he puts them low on the list. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, and then when he says Melissa, he's like, huh, you know, Melissa, she's quiet. It's like, never trust a quiet woman. No.
Yeah, quiet Asian woman. I don't know. There was just like, I'm not saying he's racist because I don't think he's racist, but definitely in that ranking and the way he treats the women, it just sort of makes me feel like he is, at the very least, a little bit of a good old boy.
Well, he definitely has blinding dentures. I'll give him that.
Yes. He definitely whitewashes the situation only because his dentures are so bright.
Maybe he's just so white because he uses so much teeth bleach.
Yeah, exactly that.
So Melissa's, everybody's basically cooking, and Melissa's like, oh God, my sister has a great personality. Hopefully she'll get me through the personality part of this section, because yikes. And then we start seeing everybody's food, and Stephanie has made a vegetarian chili base, which, how is that a product, Stephanie? Like, Stephanie,
yeah,
come on now. I'm, like, rooting for you, because I love somebody who refuses to smile. Like, I think that's, like, the best personality trait ever, because it's like a foil for somebody like me, who's always like, hey, trying to get you to smile, and when you won't smile at me, I'm like, I'm putty in your hands. I'll do whatever you want, you know? So I respect her because of that, you know? But who wants to eat vegetarian chili? Like, who would buy that? What a bizarre thing to come up with.
Yeah, and then you have Brian starts. He actually shows Stephanie. He's made a calamari bolognese, which I love calamari. I love bolognese, but I feel like that's a very, very specific thing.
That sounds disgusting to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it also does not sound great.
Ugh.
So he has a calamari bolognese, and he's going to be like serving them with sea truffles. He shows it to Stephanie. She's like, great. And then she just goes, fuck my life.
So the judges come in, and Nancy is wearing a Gail pattern to give Gail a break. Poor Gail's like, can I just wear black today, you guys? I'm really sick of Fatima making fun of me. Like, all right, well, get Nancy to do it.
And meanwhile, speaking of outfits, so now Malarkey has he's now put on a stupid wide brimmed hat and is wearing like a kerchief around his neck. Ugh. Everything he does, I do not approve.
Okay, so I had some trouble with my iPad keyboard. Apparently my hands were in the wrong position, because I put a greater than sign, and then I put Kimpy Peach Peach. Oh, okay. Now I see what I'm writing, actually. Melissa. I'm reading my own puzzle. Yeah. Melissa, a kimchi peach vinaigrette. Okay,
yeah,
there we go.
Fried
chicken
wing.
So bad.
Yeah, so Padma tries, and she goes, I don't know. I think putting your product on a fried chicken is cheating. Am I right? I mean, look at Gail. She can't get enough of it. She's making her own patterns with the crumbs. Give her a solid once, and it's a disaster. This is why you have patterns, Gail. Hide the crumbs.
Gail's like, the crunch was a great addition. It's fried chicken, stupid. So then we go over to Leanne, and her mom's like, I've been watching you for years. And Gail gives her the prayer hands. She's like, thank you, blessed. Thank you.
Quiet. Strange person in the back there. Famous people are eating right now.
Quiet, fainty.
Well, I guess you weren't watching us when your eyes were closed because you fainted.
Let me guess. You cooked us a nap. Am I right?
Oh, so you've been watching us for so many years. How about you tell me more about Salman Rushdie's satanic verses? Here's my ex. If you know me so well, tell me about that, huh?
So they love their sauce that they made, the Mapo sauce.
Yeah. And Leanne actually has a really good angle, which is that a Mapo sauce is something you probably wouldn't make at home. So it's beneficial to get it as a product. And Tom really likes that. He's like, yeah, it's true. I definitely would not attempt to make this at home. And I'll tell you, someone else who wouldn't make this at home, my son. I mean, he could barely make a Hot Pocket, let alone a Mapo sauce. Am I right, everyone? High five.
Anybody need somebody to open a can of Club Soda? My son is top of his class, so there's that.
Leanne, your mom must be so proud to have a daughter who has achieved something in life beyond being just a mixologist, an actual chef.
So Kevin has made Hot Lanta hot salt. And I was like,
yes.
That's like done a zillion times, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that it was stupid because it was Kevin, and I don't like Kevin anyway. And also his wife, it's his wife, right? Is it his wife that he's with?
Yeah, it's his wife, the lawyer wife, yeah.
Yeah, his lawyer wife. Yeah, she's so bitchy. Someone's like, oh, is this from Atlanta? She goes, yes, hence the title, Hotlanta. I was like, whoa, jeez.
Exhibit A, the title. Exhibit B, guilty, you are. Get out of my face.
And
tasting adjourned.
Gail's like, whoa, the salty, spicy bits on the chick. It's fried chicken, Gail. How many times do I need to say it?
And then Nancy's like, yeah, you know, it really tasted Southern without tasting cliche. You mean like Gail's dress?
So then Jen and her sister are next. And Gail just gives them a, that was just Eric. Like a little quick scene that I had to write down. Jen is putting something in a bottle. I'm glad I got that in
there. Jen's sister, by the way, looks pained the entire time. She's probably the entire time her sister's like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. I'm on camera. I don't like my hair today. I have to put lemon in a jar. Mm. She's bossing me around. I have so many years of resentment built up right now, and I have to pretend like I'm happy. I hate this. I hate this. Yeah. My fingers still smell like chicken.
So Eric is next, right?
Yeah.
He's making doubles, and Gail's like, yes.
Yeah. Gail and Nilou just basically have lady boners for Eric, okay? They just love everything he does. So so he's making, it's a fried dough called doubles. Doubles, that's called Gail's order every day.
And Tom's like, well, you know, pretty good. Flavor of the sauce was great. That was great. And Gail's like, he's in a happy place. Yes, we heard you, RuPaul. Okay, calm down over there.
So a happy place like you at Dress Barn, Gail.
Mm. So then Greg has made pickled peelies. Is that how you say it?
A spicy Haitian pickle.
Pickle peelies.
Of some sort. With Creole chicken. Peelies. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember.
I think it's called pickle peelies. Pat, you know, they love it. And Nancy's
your
like, what?
Your stew is delicious, Gregory.
Nancy's like, what a handsome family, right? It's like, whoa, calm down, dress collar.
And Gail's like, he gave us a really homey dish, a really simple dish. Should I say it or do you want to take this one, Nancy?
Well, thankfully, you're eating it in a homely outfit.
Well done, girl.
You go, girl. I learned that one from my dear friend, Queen Latifah.
So Nini,
sometimes I look at Gail and I'm just really, it makes me feel glad, like the glad family of bags.
They love Nini's Nick Mom, and Gail's like, wow, when that sweet smell first came to me, it was pungent, and then it was sweet, sticky, and spicy. All right, dear diary, next.
Is that the way that box tasted when we had it shipped to you from Kentucky? So now they go to Karen.
Who made the...
So
Karen. I wrote Krenny Row. So
well, so she made, with her sister, it's called E&O Romesco, because her kids are named... Their first names start with E&O. Those are their initials. So they actually have normal names, not like Malarkey's over there. So anyway, we made a Romesco with a pork belly. So go enjoy. Enjoy. Mm. I do have a...
And Nancy's like, well, I make a Romesco, and I prefer it chunkier. Okay, Nancy, have we publicized your shit enough today, ma'am?
And then it cuts away to a group of gays just sitting there and going, can you imagine serving and entertaining people with this Romesco? They think you were so fancy. Am I right? I was like, how did they get a version of me on there? It's like, that sounds like me, but it's not me.
So then we just see Malarkey like, fresh order, fennel, tomato, chili, citrus sauce. And Tom's like, would you sell this sauce bottled or fresh? Not really sure what this is supposed to be. It's a soggy goddamn, and your kids are named Smile. Okay, I quit.
All right.
I officially quit the show. All right, I've had enough.
It's too much for me. So Brian's like, yeah, it's really good and fresh, and it'll make you smile. I mean, and I thought swordfish would be really amazing, and then we got this charred lemon and charred radicchio, and it's all really, really good. And it's like another thing that Brian Malarkey does that annoys me is he just tells you that it's good. This is really good. It's really good. You're going to like it. I'm like, why don't you let the judges tell you if it's really good?
Because he's always selling, you know, like you said, a car salesman. And then Padma, I like when Padma verbs the food, like when she gives the food a verb. She's like, do you think his swordfish ate greasy? And then she'll like pick one dish and then she'll continuously verb only that dish throughout the episode, and it cracks me up. She does it all the time. It's like, now the swordfish ate. That's in Padma's head, and she's gonna say it 20 times now.
I like that you verbed verb.
I didn't know how to say it, but
yeah, no, but it's true. It's like, do you think Brian Swordfish ate greasy at all? Gail, you like greasy food. How did this rank for you? Did you like it a lot? Okay, she loved it. It's greasy, everyone.
And Nancy's like, yeah, he just kept repeating over and over how fresh it was, but it wasn't fresh. It was muted, it was confusing, and his wife looks like she's trapped in a glue gun.
It's an Italian dressing, basically. Which is, by the way, like the cruelest thing that Padma could say on this show. Yeah. Basically, he made Newman's Own.
Oh my God, wasn't that funny that it's Newman's Own and Voltaggio is like, Voltaggio's Own! He made like his own. Yeah, it's called Voltaggio's Own. It's like, Paul Newman already did it, and he did it way sexier than you, lesser twin.
I'm calling the estate of Joan Plowright. I'm going to complain.
So he made a spaghetti. And, first they eat Stephanie's.
Stephanie. So she used her chili base to make, like, a two-bean chili and a homemade cracker. And they basically don't like it. Nancy's like, well, I think it really lacks some depth and complexity. The kind of depth and complexity that you get when you sell an $18 cracker coated in olive oil. You know what I'm saying, everyone? From Liguria.
And Tom's like, how does this help you? It's a product that you still have to cook everything else. You still have to cook the beans. And if you're going to put meat in it, you still have to cook the meat. It's like, yeah, but so are the other things. You still have to cook the ribs to put rib sauce on ribs. Like, I felt like Tom was being really mean to Stephanie on this point when he wasn't being mean to anybody else on it.
Because, you know, his son earlier that day was like, Dad, I got an idea. How about I come up with a chili sauce? He's like, no, I don't like it. So then when she does it, she's like, chili sauce. He's like, oh, my God. No, son. No. But I think what he was saying was that if you're going through all the effort to brown the meat and debrown the onions and brown this and that, it's really not that hard just to throw in some tomatoes or throw in any other tomato sauce. Like, this is not like, it's not a huge time saver compared to others.
Well, I mean, if you're making the beans from scratch or whatever and like waiting all day for them and then rinsing them and doing all of that. But if you're just opening a can of beans and throwing them in there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was her point later on. I think that maybe she just chose a bad dish to highlight it, and so it seems kind of silly why to have it.
Yeah, so Volt is doing his Newman's Own, and he's made a calamari spaghetti, which looks like the squid ink spaghetti that his brother loves making at his restaurant. Ink! Squid! Wasn't his restaurant called Ink or something?
It was called Ink, yeah. So, it's like a calamari bolognese, but he made like a... He has this whole thing about spaghetti with nori and kale and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, I'm not even going to write this down. It's very involved and it's very scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds delicious. Scary in terms of... Scary in terms of like a lot of stuff to put together.
Ugh, sounds gross to me. So then Kevin is like, well, we're not selling any hot salt, so nice job, lawyer. And then we go to Jen.
Way to make your case.
Yeah. And then Jen is doing her sunny. Everything's goddamn sunny over here.
Yeah. And it's called Lemon Ginger Love. And it's got a skirt. She's doing it on a skirt steak. And Tom does not like it. He just feels like the sauce needs a lot of work. And he hates the texture because apparently Jen just kind of like pureed it all together. So the ginger was just like grainy and gritty and bitsy. And And Nancy's like, you know what? It didn't taste sunny to me, okay? Look at me. Look at my face. This is a sunny fucking face. Am I right, everyone? That sauce, not sunny.
Yeah. So Padma's like, how do you think they did? It's hard to recognize them without their cheap phones. And Tom's like, well, you know, some dishes were successful and some dishes weren't so successful. It's like, well, glad Tom's still here, you know, adding to it. So then we're done with the challenge.
Yeah, it's time to go to judging. So, Padma's like, which dumb person thinks they sold the most? Raise your hands. Gail, not you, Gail. You didn't sell anything.
No, Gail, we're not asking who took the most things home for free. Gail's trunk is full of sunny crap. Gail.
Who here thinks that Gail went to Laura Ashley after the event was done? Anyone?
So everybody points to Melissa because she obviously sold the most. And Melissa's like, I'm so proud. I really wanted a versatile product. They're like, great. Well, you still aren't in the top three. Sorry, stupid. God.
Yeah.
She sold most by far, and you don't put her in the top three. And Padma says it's because they liked her sauce, but Kevin did a better fried chicken.
Well, she goes, the best is they bring three other people, and then, like, Melissa goes to the side, and then she's like, it was totally unnecessary. And she goes, Melissa, we loved the sauce, but Kevin gave us a better fried chicken. Ha ha, Kevin, and you're still not in the top.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Huh?
Think about that. Clutch your heart, fat man.
So the top are Gregory, Nini, and Eric.
Yeah. So Gail just loved that Gregory made something Haitian. She just loved that.
I just love how Gail says everything.
I was so glad you made something Haitian. And then Tom's like, well, you know, Southerners have chow chow. And Voltaggio brothers have pretentious fish sauces. North and Haitians spaghetti. Have picklies. So there we go.
Yeah, there we go. A little history. And mixologists have actually nothing. They have literally nothing except maybe lemons. They've invented something called carcass in, carcass out. Don't know what that's all about.
Mixologists have lots of requests in for loans at banks. So that's fun. All right, let's start with Nene.
Mixologists have unmade beds in their dad's houses. That's what they have.
So Nancy's like, Nene, your ribs were tender. The sauces were balanced. I appreciate you not trying to do anything as delicious as my gelato, which you can buy in stores right now.
You know, the thing I really liked about your ribs was they were so shiny. They actually could have been a barrette. I thought about putting them in my hair because they kind of look like giant meaty barrettes.
Gail's
kind of
like, into it. It tasted like love.
I mean, talk about a moment for a blessed hands clap, blessed clasped hands. Tasted like love. Those ribs did look amazing. I know you're not eating meat anymore, but man, those ribs looked. I mean, I wanted to eat them very badly. And then they move on to Eric, and Gail's like, I was so psyched to see a double. I mean, she just makes it so easy for us. Am I right, everyone?
Oh. So who's next?
And then she goes, you know what, Eric, the sauce was so bright and it felt like sunshine. And I was surprised that they did not cut away to Jen at that moment, because that should have been a tss.
Yeah, you know her eye was twitching over there.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm sunshine right here.
You've made something that most people here have not tried, Eric. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Nancy, which chef won Gregory this wins. Challenge? A. And she's like, the winner is Gregory. And he's like, well, all right. Well, feels great. Still feel the same as I did before, just perfectly even-keeled and happy. I wonder if Gregory just goes home and punches holes in walls, because he's like the calmest, nicest person I've ever seen. And that can't be.
No, he runs those. He does that super running thing. Remember a few weeks ago, that randomly, like, he's like making like a sofrito or something. He's like, in my free time, I like to run for 65 miles. And I was like, okay, that was a nice fact.
Also, thanks, he's just exhausted.
Yeah, I think he just runs out his emotions.
Oh, I wish I could do that. So Stephanie, Jen, and Malarkey are on the bottom. And Malarkey's like, me? No way.
Yeah, his face is like, oh my God, when he gets picked. And then he like looks behind him like, is anyone else seeing this injustice? This is crazy. There must be a mistake. I'm at the top of my own list.
Leanne's mother almost fainted. Are we going to mention that?
Yeah, seriously.
And then he says, my product sold well and it tasted amazing. Not being a dick, just telling the truth. Like, you're being a dick. Okay.
So then Padma does one of my favorite things. When there's someone on the bottom, and then she asks this question, Stephanie, how did today go for you? It's like, obviously not well, because she's on the bottom, just like rubbing the salt in the wound.
And Stephanie's got misery all over her face. She's like, I was pleased. And Tom's like, well, you know, your product, it's interesting, but it's not convenient. If you got to cook beans and meat, where's the convenience in that? And Gail's like, well, it was a good chili, but it, you know, I mean, it's chili. And Nancy's like, there was no surprise there, honey. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it would have been one thing if you opened up that jar of chili base and there was Nancy's fancy gelato in there available now for $24 per pint. But it wasn't there like that. And Gail's like, I thought it was a good chili. I don't think it differentiated itself as a base from so many tomato sauces I've had before. And Lord knows she's had them all in one sitting. Am I right? High five, Nancy. High five.
Malarkey, how was the day for you? I found your swordfish ate oily.
And he's like, as a product that I mixed last night, it really broke itself down. I'm like, so it's a bad product. You're selling it fresh and it broke down. Yeah. So it's a bad product.
But if my wife fucked something up, I'd be glad to tell her. So just be specific on what my wife fucked up. That would be great.
Yeah, thank you. And then here's another thing I noticed about Malarkey that he does that we have not articulated, but I think going forward, we're going to notice it all the time. When he gets negative feedback, he does this thing where he like leans his jaw into it with his ear, like, okay, I'm trying to listen to this ridiculousness coming my way. So he like purses his lips a little bit. So Nancy goes, I was expecting fresh and bright and I didn't feel it. And he just like leans in with his ear like, yeah. Huh? Like, yeah. I'm trying to hear what the idiot's saying over there about my food. Once you see it, you'll never unsee it, and it'll make you so mad every time he does it.
It's like, well, that was pretty muddy malarkey. All right, what do you want from me? And Tom's like, yeah, that product, it was a problem. It was confusing. I think the only thing that was more confused there was your wife, who just kept trying to walk towards exit signs. It was pretty crazy.
I thought it was sort of strange how you kept on dragging your wife off that escalator. I don't know why she was going that way.
So then we get to Jen, and Padma's like, how do you feel about the overall dish?
Spoiler alert, we hated it. So how do you feel? How do you feel about it?
So Tom is asking her why she didn't strain it. She's like, because I love the fucking bites in it. How else are you going to get a goddamn bite of ginger in a fucking ginger sauce if you strain it? What the fuck, Tom? And he's like, you know, ginger, it's hard to puree completely, and it seemed like a mistake. So, and Sandy, Nancy's like, yeah, needed to be more sunny. Okay. The yogurt. God, it just diluted the flavor. And she's like, okay.
Have you thought about putting some barrettes on the jar? Did you think about doing that? That'd make it sunnier.
And Jen's just like, well, I'm calm now, so I'm not going to tell this bitch to take a hike. All right.
Yeah. So they leave to go out to like the stew room, and Stephanie, she just mutters under her breath, just shoot me. Just shoot me. And Leanne, by the way, immediately is like, they like get into the stew room, and somehow Leanne is already on the couch with the pillow in her lap. It's like, wow, she gets that pillow quickly.
That's what I do. It's when you feel insecure about your weight. You're like, this makes all the difference in the world. Surely people aren't going to think, whoa, there's Ronnie. He's chunky. They're going to think, whoa, God, pillows really want to hug Ronnie. You know?
Yeah. Leanne is probably standing to the side during judging the entire time thinking like, gotta get to that pillow. Gotta get to that pillow. I'm not even in the bottom. I need that pillow.
God, I really didn't even realize that I'm a pillow hugger until you talked about it. And I'm like, wow, I hug every pillow I see. Like, I'm like
you
that.
You do. Okay. I do. That's funny. Now that I think about it, it's when we sit in like the like backstage of our shows.
Always.
And, like, you do always have a pillow that you're hugging.
Yes, I always am covering. I think it's like feeling overweight or whatever, but it's also, I don't know, once you get used to those hugs all the time, it's like, I don't even care what it is. Like, I just need my little pillow doll. But yeah, I'm a pillow hugger.
My friend Asim is a big-time pillow hugger, and he doesn't have really a weight issue at all. He just loves hugging a pillow. Like, anytime you see Asim on a couch, there is a pillow in his lap being, like, clasped like a teddy bear.
I even have pillows in my bed that I hug. Have I ever told you my bed setup? I have five pillows, okay?
No.
Two go above my shoulders so that when I'm reading my phone, I can... they're both hard pillows. They're like those bamboo foam pillows. So I can lean my phone arm there while I'm reading. And then two are on the... Oh, actually, there's five. So then two are under kind of where my chest is so that I can hug them. And then I have a body pillow.
Wow.
I have a body pillow that I, like, hug all through the night.
Yeah, my pillow setup is that I've got, like, a big sort of a Eurosham kind of pillow, like a 26 by 26 square that has, like, a sort of a stiffer pillow. So it's sort of, like, it's up against the wall because I don't have an actual bed, just a bed frame. So it's up against the wall so I can lean up against that. And then I also have, like, a big king-size pillow that goes in front of that. So that way I get lower back support if I'm sitting up. And then, like, the pillow that I actually, like, sleep on. And then there's, like, a small, tiny throw pillow, which is stupid because it basically, its existence is sitting on the bed like once a week and then getting flung off the bed and lying on the floor for the rest of the week until I decide to put it back on the bed to look cute again.
I was horrified at the part where you said sitting up in bed. I do not believe in sitting in bed, but I have one of those adjustable bed things because you can get them cheap on Amazon now. And I just lift it up like I'm in the hospital room. And
then you're doing the same. Yeah, I have to prop myself. If I'm like reading something in bed, I cannot be like on my back.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading on my back all the time. I'm a good hoe that way.
Because then you have to hold up your arms.
Yeah, well, that's why I have those pillows to lean my arms on. Because, like, I have my Kindle and I have pop sockets on the back of everything that I read. Like, my Kindle has a pop socket so it can just dangle from my hand as it relaxes on the... Okay, why are we talking about this? We're doing a recap.
Leanne's pillow holding. Anyway, so now the bottom three come into the... Oh, no, now they're talking about the bottom three. So Tom's basically like, yeah, you know, I feel like the bottom three, they were just, like, unfinished, you know? I mean, Steph's chili was good, you know, it was good, but it was unfinished, sort of like... you know, my son's education. Just never quite finished high school, and now is a mixologist. So there we have it.
Gail was like, it's a perfectly fine tomato sauce. Well, she's all mad. And he's like, and Jen's dish, I mean, you know, why belabor the point? Jen sucks, and it wasn't sunny. And Padma's like, that ginger was like the day Gail first walked into the dress barn. Her biggest mistake.
I haven't had ginger that bad since I saw... Kevin, actually, just a few minutes ago. Ginger joke, everyone. Anyone? No? Nancy, laugh at it.
Nancy's like, I got my own fucking troubles, honey. So then over it, they bring them back in, and Tom's like, well, you know, it's a pretty crowded market today, and one chef fell short of the complete package. All right, Padma?
And so basically Jen gets cut, which is pretty surprising because she's so good, but it must have been a really bad sauce. It just must have been so gritty and unpleasant. But it seemed like people at the actual event liked it, but I guess not. So Tom's like, well, guess what? It's not over. We still have Last Chance Kitchen for you to cook a few meals, and then it'll be over for you. So enjoy.
It's like, hey, I'm from fucking Philly, all right? Rocky keeps fucking coming back. Put me in front of some goddamn stairs. I'll show you a sunny sauce, you bitch. And he's like, all right, well, thanks for coming. So she's like, you know, Top Chef has done so much good for me. You know, in my younger years, I wanted things done in my way. But that motivated me to be better. So now I'm like, you know, you didn't like it? All right, I'm totally fine with that. You motherfuckers, I'm gonna fucking...
You cut to Jen outside slashing everybody's tires and putting bricks through the windshield.
Just like slathering lemon ginger sauce all over Tom's car seat. Underneath the handle outside the door. It's like, oh, well, I'm just going to open up my car door. And my car seems to be leaking lemon ginger.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy. Well, that brings us to the end of Top Chef, everybody. Tomorrow we will be back with some Shaws of Sunset and Real Housewives of Atlanta. And then we're going to have an extra recap this week because of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay, well, so exciting. Go over to Patreon to get our videos, and our entire Tiger King au revoir is up there for this month's bonus episodes. And I think that's it. Support your local businesses, etc. If you come find us on Cameo if you want a Cameo. And if you guys... remember, enter the iRobot contest. Come up with your Roomba iRobot tagline, housewife tagline, and hashtag WWC Roomba, right, Roomba. Ben? And Roomba, yeah, tag that anywhere. You can tag it on one of our Instagram posts or whatever, anywhere on Instagram, and we'll search that tag and pick the best ones to win the fabulous iRobot Roomba vacuum cleaner.
Yes, everyone. So we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.